comes to the ascension day, to the ascension day, there's another 40 days from temptation to triumph. And during this period of 40 days, Jesus appears to the women, first at the tomb, Mary Magdalene, the woman who Jesus cast out a lot of demons and healed her. Then he appeared to the 10 of the disciples. Thomas was missing. Judah was dead at this time. He later appeared to all the 11 in the passage that Jamie read for us in John, where Thomas actually is present with them. Then he appears to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Then appears to this gentleman on the road to Emmaus, right on that very kind of spectacular journey. And then he appeared to over 500 at one time. We are reminded by Paul in 1 Corinthians. And we find this incredible journey in Luke 24. I want to go back and revisit that passage, because on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they prepared and went to the tomb. And it says they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of Lord Jesus. He was not there. Disappointment, disillusionment, hopelessness sets in, as I mentioned last week. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And those words came: "The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day, and raised again." Then they remembered his words. Two key verses in this passage. This in verse 8 in Luke 24. "Then they remembered his words." And then in verse 31, "Then their eyes were open." They remember and their eyes were open to recognize him. They remember and they recognize. It is my prayer that as we dwell a little bit on this wonderful encounter of the living Christ with a different people after the resurrection, God's truth will penetrate deeply into our hearts. Now, on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles. 7 miles, the perfect number. I was saying last week, there are 7 sayings about Jesus: "I am the bread of life, I am the truth, the resurrection, and the life. I am the truth. I am the shepherd. I am the shepherd. I am the door. I am the vine," and so on. 7 incredible, powerful statements. There are 7 incredible, even more powerful statements of Jesus' words on the cross: "I am thirsty. It is finished. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." A perfect number, 7 days. And those guys are on a journey. And so it happens that it says they were, as they talk and discuss these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along them, but they were kept from recognizing him. In verse 16, Jesus walked alongside them. They were going in one direction, and Jesus joins them wherever they are, wherever they were going. I don't think they were going to church or anywhere else. They're going to this place called Emmaus, and Jesus joins them. And what happens, and what I like, is that before God gives you the answer, sometimes he will change your question. Let me say that again. Before he gives us the answer that we want to life challenges, God changes the question. And this is what happens here in this incredible encounter. "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And in verse 21, they say, "But we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." We had hope. You see, those two guys were disappointed, disillusioned, hugely discouraged. We had hope. We lost hope. You see, they tell Jesus their hopelessness, their anxiety, their fears, their hearts. They almost felt betrayed by this Christ who said he's going to be the King of Kings and he's going to rule with peace and joy in Israel. but it didn't materialize. It didn't come around like that. Because those women just been to the tomb. Peter himself ran there and he found the empty tomb. He's not there. Someone has taken him. It never crossed their mind that he is alive. So they tell them how all this hope has been tarnished. And you see, Jesus doesn't run away from it. He can take it. He's a big boy. He can take our fears and our anguish and our anxieties and our pain. He takes it in and he continues the journey with us. What things, he asks. And I wonder if sometimes the more honest we are with God, the more we experience his presence, the more anguish we pour before him, the more healing penetrates our lives and our hearts and our souls. What things? Tell me. And they pour out their hearts before him, their anguish. He walks with them and he tells them all about Moses, prophets, and so on. And they still don't recognize him. I can imagine Jesus telling them about the Paschal Lamb of the Passover. It is, I am the one now. I am that Lamb. Still, they don't recognize him. And they carry on, and they go, and they go, and they go, and they walk, and they walk, and they walk. And as they walk, they nearly get to the place where they had to go. And it says like this in verse 28. Can you put it up, Logan? Can you put verse 28 up in Luke 24? Thank you. I'd like that verse to be up if possible. Jesus continued on as if he were going further. As if he was going further. The journey starts where you are, but you are the one who decides its destination. Christ joins us wherever we are, but we make the decision in and through our lives where that journey ends. Jesus seemed to appear that he wanted to go further. But they urge him strongly, stay with us. Can I challenge you gently? For some of us, Jesus Christ has not come alive in order that we may just journey with him, have a good time with him. We need to take it a little bit further than that, to ask him to stay with us, to stay in our lives. I don't think Jesus has come alive that we may wander around an empty tomb with spices of tradition and stuff that really doesn't matter that much. He hasn't just come alive for that. He wants to stay with us. We are not just Christian on a Sunday morning. We want him to stay within us. We don't just want to walk with Jesus because we've got ailments and fears and hopelessness and problems and anxieties and so on. We want Jesus to stay with us because we want Jesus, full stop. And not just a blessing. He appeared to walk further. Now, they could have say, okay, thank you for being with us. Thank you for talking to us. And something happens. He stays with them. He takes some bread. This is the Paschal Lamb who takes the bread. He breaks it. This was the custom for the Paschal Lamb, for the Passover meal, to break that bread as we do here in our church monthly, and gives it to them. And as he gives it to them, something happens. Something really happens. That as he gives that bread to them, he says, the scripture says this in verse 31. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Look what happens here. He gave it to them. Up to that point, he spoke to them through his words, but they didn't recognize him. It was when he showed them the wounds and his hands, the nails, they just penetrated his hands and his feet, that they recognized him. Sometimes words are not good enough for us to know Jesus. You know some of you the Bible better than I do. And you can quote the Bible to anyone you want. But let me tell you and shock you, that's not enough, my brothers and sisters. What people need to hear is that you've been there. You know what pain and agony is. You know what the pain of divorce is. You know what it means to lose a loved one. You know what it means to struggle with cancer. Words are not enough. You see, Christianity is not a cosmetic resurrection for our souls. I wish we'll be healed just by hearing the gospel. Christianity is much more than that. His words, and listen to this carefully, made their hearts burn, but it was his wounds that opened their eyes to see him. That's what he was. Some things cannot be explained. They can only be experienced with Christ. Many of you can teach the Bible, as I said, but it's through experience with God that will bear the most powerful witness. Tell people your testimony. Tell people the power of God and his grace in your life. The power of an example is better than the power of an explanation. That's my understanding. That's my understanding of Scripture. You see, in verse 33, they say, they got up. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. He got up. We can get up and we can continue to go. The prodigal son got up and went back home. He came to his senses on a journey all the way to embrace. Yeah, he was still the father's son, but the father wanted him with him. See, just journeying with God through traditions and stuff and things, religious stuff and things, is not enough. You want to see Jesus, to stay with him. How do we know he had the scars? How do we know that those two guys, when he broke bread, saw his scars? Well, let me take you into John 20, the passage that Jamie read for us. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, so this is 7 days later, 7 days later, seven again, disciples behind closed doors for the fear of the Jews. You see, the resurrected grace of a resurrected King and Lord of the universe breaks the doors of any fear and anxiety and worry and wounds that we may have. Fear will always lock you in, not out. Always lock you in. You see, some of you could be here sitting very lovely and nicely and looking so lovely and Christian and beautiful at peace people, but in your heart, fear could just be rampant. And worry and whatever else is that you're struggling with at the moment. And here we go in John 20, verse 21. So he goes in behind the locked doors and he says, peace be with you. After he said this, in verse 20, he showed them his hands and his feet, and then his side. Five wounds. You see, Christ didn't just come to preach to us and take us to heaven. He came to show us his wounds. So stop telling people how good God is and how wonderful you are doing, because it doesn't work. Christianity is not a cosmetic surgery for our souls. Christ has shown them his wounds, and they saw him. And they saw him then, not before. Thomas, Didymus, which means twin, we all get labels. I don't know, you get people who call you all sorts of things like addictive Annie, noisy Nelly, angry Alan, bullying Billy. You say scary Simon Peter, who was very scary, you know, to walk on water and all that stuff. You can call it Levi locked doors. You know, he was the one who locked the door because they were afraid. People will label you all the time by what you did. We give a very bad press to Thomas because he was doubtful, because he wasn't there, because why did you want to see the wounds? Why did he want to see the mark of his nails? He should have had faith. We're giving such a bad press all the time. But I think he was one of the most courageous of the disciples. Doubt is not a problem for God. Never has been. He wanted to see that this Christ was the real deal. He wasn't like any other gods. That he's not the one who just preaches to people, but he's the one who suffered and died and is now alive forevermore. Come here. Come here, Peter. Come here, Thomas. Come and see. Come and put your hand and finger. This is who I am. I'm not just preaching to you. This is who I am. I am the God who died for you. Come and say it. This is where the nails have been. Yeah? And I got one for you. And I've got one for you. And I got one for you. And I got one for you. This is where the marks are. And look at this. Come and put your finger. Come and put your finger here. Then Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on them. So now Thomas, also known Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciple told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, I will not believe. I will not believe a word you're saying to me. I need to see that. I need to see that." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, 7 days. And Thomas was with them through the doors. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Come on, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. This is who I am." Oh, what a moment that was. Thomas said, "My God and my Lord." Wow. You see, those guys on the Emmaus Road, they had to see Jesus. They had to see his wounds in order to see him. Thomas had to see his wounds in order to believe in him. This is who God is. They wanted to know that Christ is the real deal. They wanted to know that forgiveness, it is available to all of them. And this is what I want to talk to you for the next 5 minutes, and then I'm going to close. Sometimes Jesus reveals to himself to us on a walk, on a 7-mile walk, whatever it is. Sometimes he reveals to us after 7 days. Sometimes he reveals to us after 70 years, whenever. And that's not that important. What is important that we stay and make time for Jesus to stay with us and not just walk with him. His word might not be enough. Experiencing the power of his spirit is what is needed to have our eyes open to recognize him. I want to talk to you a little bit just what the Bible says here. "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." And then back into Luke, it says, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached. Yes, this is what we've been given, the mandate to preach Christ crucified, a Christ who preached, who healed, who died for us and is alive forevermore, a Christ whom through his wounds we recognize him when we are healed. Through his words we are encouraged and our lives are transformed. But you will be preaching the forgiveness of sin. Can I preach the forgiveness of sin in Christ if I don't recognize him, if I have not seen him, if I don't experience his forgiveness? Forgiveness, it doesn't mean approving of what someone else did. Forgiveness, it doesn't mean pretending that evil never took place. Hey, Thomas, I have been crucified. Look at this. It happened. I have been hurt. Forgiveness, it doesn't minimize the evil and the hurt that people put on us. It doesn't do that. Forgiveness doesn't mean making excuses for others, people's bad behavior. It doesn't justify evil whatsoever. It doesn't mean overlooking abuse. Forgiveness doesn't mean denying that others try to hurt you repeatedly. You know, if I would have been Jesus on that cross, when he prayed, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do, I would have said, well, they do know what they do. They certainly do. And they do it in spades. Forgiveness doesn't mean pretending that you were never hurt. It doesn't mean that you must restore that relationship to what it was before. No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that you must become best friends again. That might never happen. Forgiveness doesn't mean that it must be a total reconciliation. It could be some sort of resolution. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation or restoration, never has been. And it's not a magic trick that we use to force others to become our friend again. No, it isn't. It's not a tool to manipulate others into confessing what they did so that it can hurt us again. Forgiveness is one thing, reconciliation is completely something else. Reconciliations require forgiveness, but forgiveness does not demand reconciliation. Forgiveness depends on you. Reconciliation depends on both of you. It implies confession, repentance, restoration, and so on. What then is forgiveness? The most important thing I can say, perhaps the most important sentence in this whole message on this Sunday, is that forgiveness is a choice, it's not a feeling. God never says, forgive them if they feel like it. Forgiveness is not about feelings. If you have been deeply hurt, you will probably never feel like forgiving someone. But it's both ways. Because some other people have drew nails to you. Pain inflicted on your soul, on your mind. But also you have done the same to others. Forgiveness also goes that way too. You also must ask forgiveness. We all crucify Christ. We all hurt one another. But you know what? The resurrected Christ, the risen Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, is a Christ who shows us his wounds. But you know what? The wounds are still there and will be hurt, and we will be still carrying the scars. Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one who came alive, he could have wiped those off just like that when he came back from the tomb, but he didn't. You see, while we are here on earth, the devil is still got some nails, but he hasn't got the hammer. That's gone. The hammer is gone with the last nail he put in Jesus's feet and hands. Forgiveness is both ways. And I find in my life and ministry that the hardest it is not only just to forgive others, but to forgive God, and to probably the hardest is to forgive myself. To forgive myself. The nails go and come both ways. Others drill them into us, we nail them into others. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you. I'm going to send you as my Father has sent me. With wounds, with scars. This is the Christ who I am. I haven't just come to preach. I've come to show you. A wounded Christ, a wounded God, who walks with you, reveals himself to you, both through word and through wounds. Not just through explaining, but through experience. Not just walking, but also staying with you. This is who I am. Follow me and preach the forgiveness of sin. Peace be with you. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your word and for your spirit this morning present here with us. Thank you for what you revealed to us this morning from the word and through the spirit. Father, we pray that this will not be just another good sermon, vicar, but will be a new revelation of your love for us. As we go out of here, we will experience your forgiveness in its fullness. We will know that we are cleansed, accepted, loved, and forgiven. Can I give you a moment or two just between you and the Lord to bring anyone that the Lord might show you or might not before him that you need to ask forgiveness? Someone that probably has hurt you? Someone that has wounded you? I say, Lord, I release that person into your love and care. Help me forgive. Let that journey start now. I will not promise to you that this will happen just straight away, because forgiveness is a choice and a process and a journey. But I'd like to give you just a couple of minutes for the Lord to bring someone to mind that you might need to forgive. I also like to give you a minute or two where you might like to ask the Lord to bring someone to your mind where you need to ask forgiveness for the hurt you caused. Father, I pray for the people who've been praying that prayer. I pray for the people whom you revealed where the wounds have come from or the wounds that have been inflicted to. You will give them your peace. That as you breathe your Holy Spirit on us from your word, the same Holy Spirit will rest on them and live within them right now. That the work of healing, the work of reconciliation and transformation will begin. For those who are already on that journey, that work will continue. Lord, we choose today to forgive, to love, to continue to serve one another and you. We forgive as you forgave us our trespasses. Father, forgive us for the times when we wander around the empty tombs of religion with the different spices of tradition. Yet inside our hearts there is locked up fear and anguish and bitterness and revenge and unforgiveness and resentment. Lord, we welcome you in to come into our lives to hear your words, peace be with you, to see your wounds, to touch your scars, and to live and stay with you for healing, for grace. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are on that journey and they're still struggling with forgiving, with loving, accepting. You will continue to journey with them. Break bread with them. Reveal yourself to them until they recognize your love and experience your healing touch. Lord, be our vision. A vision that brings lives that are transformed, grace that is enriching, and power to your spirit that brings witness to your glory and to your name. Lord, send us as you have sent Jesus into your mission, as forgiven people who have forgiven in order to love and serve, obey and follow, trust and praise, rejoice and worship. This is our prayer. Be our vision. Reveal yourself to us, we pray.